Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're up to the second line from the top of the Amud. And as you recall, yesterday we had a number of Tanoim and Amayroim that were giving advice to their Talmidim, sometimes to their family. And the Gemara continues in that same way, second line from the top, Omar Le Rav Ravasi. We're going to find that Rav gave and taught certain lessons to three of his Talmidim. First Talmid here is Rav Asi. Omli Rav Rav Asi. Leitoder b'masa d'loit tzonef b'susya. Don't live in a town where you do not have horses that neigh. Neigh is the sound that horses make. V'lei novach b'kalba. And that dogs don't bark. Now what is so important about that? So Rashbam explains, in part, if you look at the second wide line down below, says Rashbam, that there are no horses there, because they are a good shmira for a town, for a city, against ganovim. Ganovim are thieves. To be able to run after them and to chap them. Rishba, however, doesn't explain anything about the dogs. And apparently this works together hand in hand, meaning that towns and cities were plagued by burglars that came at night. Remember, they didn't have all of the beautiful lamps that we have nowadays that give us light during the night, and it was very dark. So the burglars would stealthily come in and they would steal. What would prevent them if there were dogs and the dogs started barking, so then they would be scared. And what would the thieves do? They'd run for the hills. There are watchmen that are in charge of every town and every city, but they were powerless to go and run after them if they didn't have horses. And therefore the thieves knew that they can get in and they can get out, even though the dogs are barking, nothing to worry about. So therefore Rav is saying to Rav Asi, if you want to stay safe and you don't want to worry about burglars and other people like that, what you should do is have dogs that will do the barking, and if and when thieves are trying to run away, the watchman will be able to quickly jump on their horses and catch up to them. And so therefore this will act as a major deterrent against would-be thieves. Continuing with Imar, V'altoda bi'ir d'reish mosa asya, and don't live in a city where the reish mosa is the mayor, is an asya. So Pashup Shad, a masya is a doctor. There's however another pshat. If you look at the Rashi on top, the second line, Roisha Asya is Roife, a doctor. The Amrila, others say, Asya means a Tamad Chochem, Utravayu Chataima, and both of them are for the same reason. What's both for the same reason? Because the doctor is busy with his patients. He is not busy with the communal affairs. And if there is a conflict where he has to go and tend to a major communal affair and he has to take care of a patient, well, his first obligation will be to take care of his patients so that they should have a refuah shleima. And he's not going to be so careful about the tzorchei tzibur, about his communal responsibilities. And the same thing applies to the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is going to be busy learning with his shiurim. And we had this in the Gemara the other day. The same thing, that don't appoint the Talmud Chacham as your mayor, because he's going to be busy learning and he's not going to be able to do his mayoral responsibilities. There's an interesting Tosfos which is cited here. If you notice, right before Dereish Masa, there's an asterisk that takes you to the Gilyan HaShas. And the Gilyan HaShas says, why don't you look up the Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud? And in fact, just by coincidence, I happen to have a Gemara Bava Basra here on Daf Kuf Yud. And Tosfos says a very, very fascinating pshat. He says, the Girsa in our Gemara is not Dereish Masa Asya, but Dereish Masa Asi, without the extra aleph at the end. What does that mean? Rav is talking to Rav Asi, and he says, Rav Asi, you just keep on learning, because you are a great gadol, a great Talmud Chacham. Don't take upon yourself the tzorchei tzibur to become now the mayor, because then you won't be able to learn. And therefore he's saying, don't live in a town or in a city where they appoint you, Asi, the new mayor. It's not good for you, not good for the town. It's Tosfos on Daf Kuf Yud, third Tosfos from the top. And Tosfos says over here, he told him, Shimcha Rav Asi, Shaloi Tisvatel, Machmas Tzorche Tzibur. Don't be Mavatel because of the Tzorche Tzibur. And you won't be learning. You'll be busy with taking care of communal affairs. So, this is a Toysis of Kuf Yud Omer Aleph. You have it here in the Gilyan Hashas on the right hand margin. Gilyan Hashas is Rabbi Kiva Eger. That says, Ayin Toysis Bova Basar, Daf Kuf Yud Omer Aleph, Dibre Mascha Vulaitema. So he says that that's another Gerson argument. Instead of Asi, be Goyris Asi. And Rav is telling Rav Asi, don't go into politics, don't become the mayor, you just go and sit and learn. Continue with the mark.
Because he'll be, as we say, you should live in a town where the Talmud Chacham is the mayor.
That's correct. That's what we had the other day in the Gemara, because the Talmud Chacham are the mayor, they're the city council, they're going to be busy with learning with their shiurim, and they won't be able to take care of, I don't know, all the requirements of a town or city, to take care of the police department and the sanitation department and whatever mayors do. And that's what the Rashi is referring to at the top, the Amri L'Talmud Chacham. The other pshat is, Asi means the Talmud Chacham, so that's the same as the previous Gemara that we learned. Okay, Yishakoyach. Duki Moravaita. V'loitin Zivtarti, and don't marry two women. What's the reason why you shouldn't marry two women? Again, Rashi and Rishbam both say the reason is because maybe these women are going to gang up against their husband. They have, for whatever reason, they have tightness on their husband. They're not happy with their husband. And the two are going to make some sort of joint effort against him. And it's going to be two against one. But you know what? I have an etza. Inas v'starti in the sift class. Once you marry two, then you really should go and marry a third wife. Why? Because that third wife is going to go, says, if you look quickly at the Rashi on top, fourth line for the top, intensive trade, don't marry two women, noshim, shematisya etzna, alecha, ra. They're going to come up with all types of plans against you. The word yetzna is from a loshon etza. They're going to advise each other about a plan against you. However, in a sift class, shematisya etzna, hashlishist megalaloch, if the two are going to get together against you, then the third one will hopefully reveal the secret. She'll be your spy, and she'll tell you what the other two are planning against you. Okay, so this is what Rav said to Rav Asi. Now Rav is talking to Rav Kahana. Omalei Rav l'Rav Kahana, hafoich b'neveilosa v'loi teipach b'mili. You should rather go and turn over neveilos, and don't turn over your words. What Rav is saying to Rav Kahana is, a person should have total integrity, so that when he is talking, he should go and always speak honestly and with integrity. So, Vachman Velosa, if you have to go and turn over the Velos, but don't turn over your words, meaning go and speak the truth, don't go and maneuver and manipulate your words. Pshoit Velosa Bishuka, Vishokal Agra. Now he's giving another Eitzah, and that is, if a person unfortunately is having a very difficult time of parnasa, he should take even the most menial of parnasos, even though it might not be very honorific, it doesn't bring him any kavod, but at least it'll pay the bills. So you should rather go and strip the hides off of dead carcasses of animals out in the marketplace, v'shokel agra, and receive pay for that. V'loitayman, don't say, kahana, no, oh, I'm a kahana, v'gavaraba, no, I'm a greiser mensch, v'sanya b'milza, and this is sonui to me, sanya from Lushan of Sinna, I hate this type of thing, it's so offensive to me. Now, when it says, v'loitayman, kahana, no, this is a little bit of a hot potato. Our toises here at the top already refers us to another toises in Daf Mem Tesamid Beis, and there are a few toises in that deal with this issue, and that is when it says in our Gemara of Leitema Kahana, now don't say I am a Kohen. Was Rav Kahana really a Kohen? And that's already a series of toises in that discuss whether you're a Kohen, not a Kohen. Toises in Daf Mem Tes concludes that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. And the reason why he told him, Vloiteme Kahana, no, that's just like the choices that we quoted a moment ago, Rav Asi. That just like Rav said to Rav Asi, don't allow for Asi to become the mayor. Who's that Asi? Meaning you, Rav Asi. Here too, don't allow you, Rav Kahana, That was his name, Kahana. Don't say if you're in dire straits when it comes to Panasa, don't go and solicit funds, but rather with pride you should go and take the most menial of jobs. Like Tehaman, don't say, my name is Kahana, how can I, Kahana, a chosh of a person, a Tambat Chochem, how can I go and take this? Don't say that. But rather go and work with honesty and integrity and get Parnasa. There are other choices, and by the way, that say that Rav Kahana was a Kohen. There's a steer, because some Gemara say that Rav Kahana was, some Gemara suggest that he was not. And therefore, Toysis concludes that there were at least two Kahanas, and some say there were even three Rav Kahanas. But anyway, regardless, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara continues on, Salkis li'igra sheirusech bahadoch. This is advice that no matter where you're traveling, always take food with you. Never rely on the fact that your destination, that there'll be stores, that you can go and get food there. And the Gemara is emphasizing this by saying, Salkis li'igra. Igra means to your own roof. Even if the traveling that you're traveling is so short, you're not even going across the street, you're just going to your roof. Shirusa badach, take food along with you. You should always hand sandwiches, tzedel aderech. Of course, the Gemara doesn't mean literally when you go up to the roof, but it's just trying to emphasize, we're not talking about it, you're going transcontinental, you're going from New York to California. Even if you're going from New York to New Jersey, go and take some food with you, you never know. So much so, the Gemara continues on, Meya kari b'masa b'zuza, even if you heard that you can go and get food plentiful, so much so that 100 kari are gourds, or pumpkins, or squash, you can get them in the town for a zuza, for one zuz, meaning that they're really a bargain, they're very cheap, nevertheless, take some along with you. Never rely on what you hear, because what happens when you get to the town and you want to buy those meyakari, you find out that they're all sold out. Or you find out that it's New Year's Day, or it's Rosh Chodesh, and all the stores are closed, and you can't buy it. Always be on the safe side. Take along food with you. And now Rav gives advice to Chia Berei. Omele Rav Rav Chia Berei. Rav is giving advice to his son Chia. Loitishti Sama. Try not to drink too many medicines or medical potions. And the reason for that, says Rash Rishbam, is because we don't want you to become addicted to those potions. And then you will, even when you're not sick, you're going to demand, I have to drink those, I need those. It becomes almost addictive. If you look at the Rishbam, fifth wide line down below, Loitishti Sama. So to Rishbam, Al Tishti Samim, don't go and drink medical stuff. Samim are medicines, but here it means like a medical potion. V'nei nikva lehem vest, because it'll be koivea in you an addiction. V'helibcha she'eles, and your heart, meaning you'll have a craving for it, and you'll say, I can't live without that. You'll become a drug addict. Your lab is going to ask for it, the tafs and mois, and then you're going to have to pay a lot of money for those potions. And then don't even drink it, says Rishbam, even for refuah, because it mefshel refuah acheres. In other words, obviously, if that's the only refuah in town and that's the only thing that treats this illness, you have to take it. You have no choice. However, if you have other choices, try to stay away from medicines, try to stay away from drugs, because they can become addictive. Continuing tomorrow, V'li Teshava Nigra. Teshava Nigra, explains Rishbam, means don't go and take, don't do a skipping or a jumping, which will require you to expand your gait, so that you will, it's called what we call in Hebrew a psia gasa, like a very large step. Specifically, Rishbam says, it could be referring to jumping over an amas hamayim. You're walking in the street and there's this very large puddle, so instead of walking to the right or to the left to try to avoid it, you give a spring, you jump over it. What's the reason why you shouldn't do that? Explains Rishbam, because that could damage your eyesight. The force that you need to do the jumping and the sprinting could go and affect your eyesight, and therefore, don't do it. If you have a tooth that's bothering you, don't go and uproot and pull out the tooth. Rather, try to go and get some other type of treatment so that you can preserve your tooth. And don't start up with a snake. Start up with a snake, unfortunately, the snake will out-snake you. And don't start up with a goy. Because if you start up with a goy on Chas V'Shalom, he might go and might come to violence or other problems. Okay, Zogim Arvaita, Tana Rabbana. Gimel Ein Miskanen Behen, the Elohein. The following three don't start up with. Don't start up with a Nochri Katan, with a young Gentile child, the Nochosh Katan, or a young snake, the Talmud Katan, or a young Talmud. What's the reason why? My Taima, the Malchusayu Achoyri Oidnayu Koi. Now this is an expression. Literally it means because their Malchus, their kingdom, is after their ears. What does that mean? It's a euphemistic term. It's an expression. What it means to say is, the day will come that these Ketanim will become Gedolim. They are going to grow up. So eventually this Nochri Katan, or this Nochosh Katan, or this Talmud Katan, will come of age. And at that time, they may decide to take revenge against you. So if you start up with them now they're young. Give them 5 or 10 or 20 years when they get older, and then they'll say, oh, I'm now going to teach Derech Eretz to my former Rebbe, my former boss, my former teacher, or whatever, that did not treat me nicely when I was a kid. Omli Rav le'Aivu Berei. Rav said to Aivu, his son, Tarchi b'cho b'shmaitza, v'lemistayim milza. Rav said to Aivu, I've been learning with you for many, many years, and unfortunately I don't see that you are matzliach in your learning. In other words, I don't see that you are destined to become a Rav or Rosh Hashiva or anything like that. And therefore, I assume that you're going to go out into the business world, and Baruch Hashem, you're going to go and earn money. And therefore, to agmarach mili de alma. So let me go and tell you some basics when it comes to business. Number one, adachala akar ech, zvinech zoven. Chala means sand. You've now traveled from another location to get to your hometown. The reason why you went to another location is to go and buy schoire, to go and buy wares and goods to be able to sell here locally. So, you've, Baruch Hashem, you've come home. You still have sand in your shoes or on your feet. Zvinach zvin. If you find customers, sell immediately. Don't say, well, let me first take a shower. Let me first go and take a meal. Let me sleep tomorrow morning. No. If you have customers waiting for you, sell it immediately. Don't waste time. And the point of that, says Reshbam, is because if you're able to go and sell your goods quickly, you'll be able to return to your other place, buy more goods, come back quickly, and therefore you won't lose time and you'll be able to make more money. Now, there will be times, of course, when you sell goods and then you will have charata. You'll regret the fact that you didn't wait a little bit longer, because had you waited a little bit longer, the price went up. So, says Rav to Aivu, his son, Komili Zovin Vitechoret. There will be times when you're going to go and sell items, and afterwards you'll have charata that you should have waited perhaps another day or another week until the sha'ar, until the market rate, the market price goes up. However, bar mechamra, the zav of leitichart, when it comes to wine, there you'll never have charat. There you should try to sell it as quickly as possible, and don't be nervous that the price will go up a week from now, because when the price goes up a week from now, your wine may have turned to vinegar. And therefore, sell it, get it out. Another thing, shari kisech psach sakech. If you have customers, first shari kisech, open up your wallet and put into the wallet the money that people are paying for your goods. After that, psach sakech, then open up your sack and deliver the goods. In other words, don't even give credit of 1 minute. Make sure you have the money first in your hand, and then go and give the merchandise. Because if you give the merchandise first, you may not get the money. Kava mi'ara v'lekura me'igra. You should rather make a kav from a local destination rather than making a core from a far away destination. In other words, person very often is in business, and let's say he is selling various items, various foods, various wares, and you cannot get them locally, so you travel somewhere else to pick them up. You try to go and buy them cheap and try to sell them for a higher price, and that's of course your profit margin. So says Rav to his son, you should rather go and do all of your travels locally, even if it only means that you're going to earn a kav, which is a relatively small amount, rather than traveling far off distances to be able to go and earn much, much more. Because after all, you go far off, you may think that you're going to earn a lot of money, but then it may turn out that you're not going to. It's all kind of speculative. So best is have a lot of trips locally rather than making these major trips from one destination to another. I remember my brother Zayn Gesund is married to the daughter of Reb Leibish Rappaport, Zichron Levracha. Reb Leibish Rappaport, many, many years ago, was one of the first founders, if you will, of Muncie. When he came to Muncie, there were only a minion or slightly more from people there. Obviously, it's expanded since then. And Reb Leibish Rappaport, Baruch Hashem, was a nice philanthropist about tzedakah, and he used to do a lot of traveling to the Orient, to places like Japan and China, for his business. He traded in commodities. Anyway, Bisof Yomov, years later, 20, 30, 40 years later, he said, you know what? It shows you how I wasn't thinking, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't go and give me the proper... No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody siyata d'shmaya, but if I had used my seichel, I could have saved myself all of these travels back and forth if I had just bought local property here in Muncie, and I wouldn't have to even leave my home. I could have just stayed at home the whole time, bought locally the property here. I could have been wealthier than all of my trips to the Orient when I was making money on the various commodities. So you got to open your eyes, and of course you have to have Hashem Yisbarach to open your eyes to give you siyata d'shmaya, but you can make more money sometimes kavim yara locally than travel across the world to try to make a kura.
Who is this person?
His name was Reb Leibish Rappaport. In other words, in English, Leo Rappaport. He was a mechutin of my father, Zichron Levracha. He was the shver, the father-in-law, of my brother, Zalzayin Gesund. My sister-in-law, Mrs. Margie Redder, was previously Miss Rappaport. So her father said about himself that I could have made more money just staying at home, investing in local properties, which all went up nicely in value over time. They appreciated nicely. Could have made more money than having to travel back and forth to Japan and India and China all those years. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Vayita Tamra b'chaluzach lebeis sudna rohit. Tamra, tamarim are dates. Chaluzach means your date basket, wherever you collect together your dates. When you have a collection of dates, lebeis sudna rohit, go and run to the beer brewery and give them the dates that they should brew beer, because that was a far more valuable item than the raw dates. V'ad kama, how much are we talking about? In other words, what's the minimum quantity that you should go and run to the beer brewer? Amirov at losa saw. Once you have three saw, that's already a nice amount. Run into the beis sudna, into beer brewery, and let them brew beer for you. Amr Rapapa said about himself, Idaloi Ramoy Shikra, if it wasn't for the fact that I went into the beer brewing business, Loyatri, I would not have become wealthy. In other words, Rapapa's wealth stemmed from the fact that he became a beer brewer. Ikari Amri's others say, not that Rapapa said this, but Amr Chizda, Iloi Ramoy Shikra, Loyatri, that it was Rav Chizda that said about himself that he became wealthy as a result of becoming a beer brewer. Now, the Gemara referred to the beer brewery as sudna, the base sudna, right? That was two lines earlier. Freitimor, my sudna. Where does the word sudna, what does it have to do with brewing beer? Amrav Chizda, soid no'ah, ugimilis chasodim. The word sudna stands for soid no'ah. That is a nice secret. Ugimilis chasodim. Now, the relationship between soid no'ah and sud no'ah is obvious. Soid no'ah is like the two words, soid no'ah. The relationship to Gemilas Chasodim also has to do with that Chesed Samach Dalet is also in Sudna. So there's also an overlap there of two letters, soid Samach Dalet and Gemilas Chasodim, again, Ches Samach Dalet. Now what is all of this about? So the Poshup Shad is soid no'ah, this going into the beer brewing business, this was a good recipe for making money, and as a result of making money, I was able to go and give to the poor. Baruch Hashem, I had enough money to share tzedakah and chesed with other people. The article brings another pshat in the word soid no'ah, that Rav Papa or Rav Chizda or both, it wasn't just that they went and brewed beer, because as we learned in the Gemara before, beer made out of dates was considered to be a very low, inferior form of beer. If you remember, the Gemara said, rather go and have beer from barley and from other, from figs and other fruits, rather than doing from beer. Beer was considered to be somewhat inferior. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa said, you know why I was successful? Because I was able to find out soynoa, a recipe that was secretive. In other words, I went to professional beer brewers who had been in the business for many generations, and I asked them, what is the soid, what's the secret to your success? And then they shared with him, the secret was that you add these ingredients or those ingredients or this composition or that composition, so that it became not an inferior drink, but a very, very superior drink, which was in great demand all over. And as a result, he became wealthy. So that's the kavan of soid no, that it wasn't just your standard recipe, standard production, but it was a very, very good production based on finding out this so-called secret information from professional beer brewers. Omra Papa, kol agav gavya. Okay, so now we're going to continue on a little bit further into business advice. The word agav over here means any bill that you're trying to collect. Kol agav gavya, no matter how good your bill is, or Reshbam says, any other type of document. You might have a loan document, any document that you have written on paper that the other person owes you money, that's great, but still, gavya boi. You still have to go and collect it, because even if you have a loan document that's signed and sealed with three edim, and you have everybody, the Rosh Bezdin signed on it that it's a kosher document, but to get your money, you have to collect. Kol ashroi safik osi safik leosi. Anytime that you give an advance in terms of credit and you want to get paid back, it's always speculative. The person may pay and the person may not pay. Hopefully he will, but he might not. Udaosi mois rois nenu. And very often when they do pay, they pay with mois rois. Now, mois rois, simple chat, means with inferior coins, inferior currency. However, the Rishbam says, no, it could be talking about that he pays in very small amounts. In other words, a person owes you $1,000. Instead of paying you $1,000 at one shot, every week he gives you $1. So you have to wait now for the next 1,000 weeks until you finally collect the entire amount. And how is that going to help you? $1 is gunish mit gunish until you get your $1,000. So he's going to pay. That's the mois rois, means in small currency, small amounts. Three things Rabbi Yochanan said in the names of Anshir Yerushalayim, Kishata Yoitzel Muhammad. If you are going out into war, Al Teitzeh B'Rishoyne, Al Teitzeh B'Achroyne. Don't be on the front, on the battle front, but rather be at the battle end. Kadesh Tikones B'Rishoyne, so that you should be able to return first. So says Rishbam. This is talking about that if you are concerned that you may lose the battle, and of course that's always a possibility, you're better off being in the back of the battle instead of the battle front. Why? Says Rishbam, in tonus. If you have to flee, you'll be able to flee the first, because you'll be in the back of the bus instead of the front, and you'll be able to run home more quickly to the safety of your home and your community, etc. So, good advice, don't be at the front, but be towards the back. I'm sorry?
If all the soldiers felt that way, you wouldn't be able to have a strong army. Matter of fact, in Israel, the commanders are known for always going in front.
In fact, it's, as you know, it says in the Shira, the Paroi said, Erdoif Asig Achalik Sholov, Achalik Sholov. So Rashi says, what's this Erdoif Asig? That Paroi promised his troops that I'm not going to go and stay in the royal palace. I'm not even going to go in back, but I'm going to go in front, and I'm going to be the commander-in-chief. Literally, I'm going to go in front of the all the soldiers and fight the battle. All of that is true. And the Gemara is not necessarily saying that this is good advice for military strategy and military commanders. Rabbi Yochanan is repeating the names of the Anshei Yerushalayim, that if you happen to be a poshut soldier, that you're much better off being in the back rather than being the front, just in case Chas v'Shalom the battle goes against you, and you'll be able to get home more quickly. Obviously, for military strategy, this would not be a successful way to win a war, but I don't think that Rabbi Yochanan and the Anshei Yerushalayim are trying to win wars. They're just trying to tell you, the individual soldier, yeah, for the army it's good that you have people on the battlefront, but if you want to flee, if chas v'shalom things go bad, you're better off being in the back. We had this Gemara. In fact, this is one of the Gemaras that started off this whole discussion, where Rabbi Kiva said that you should rather go and have simple meals on Shabbos rather than chas v'shalom having to go shnar, having to go to the gaboy tzedakah. You're much better off just having a limited amount. And you remember the Gemara said that even so, you should still have at least a kasa taharsana, something to spice up the meal, so it shouldn't just be a regular weekday meal. We had this already Gemara also before. You should try to go and do business with someone who is matzliach, because hopefully his hatzlocha will, if you will, wear off on you. And just like he's having hatzlocha, if you're going to be a partner of his, or you're going to go and do business with him, then you'll share in that hatzlocha. Says Gemara Vayta. What's the hey? Okay. Shloisha dvarim amar Bishum ben Levi Mishum Anshu Yerushalayim. Bishum ben Levi said the following three things. Al tarbe. Now the lashon of our Gemara is al tarbe beganois Mishum Masa Shehoya. Parshim Shah ganois means, or ginois, means out in the gardens. Don't drezach too much outside in the gan or the gina because of a Masa Shehoya. Now what is this Masa Shehoya that we're referring to? The Gemara is being very, very polite and is not going into the details, but Rishbam tells us that we're talking about the infamous story about David and Bathsheba. You have Rishbam two lines from the bottom of the Amud, that David and Melech, Rishbam quotes from the Pasuk in Shmuel, Vayar Isha Rechetzes Mi'alagad, that David and Melech was on his roof, and from where he was able to go and see Bathsheba bathing. And as a result, he had tremendous desire for her, and then we know the results of that story. So what the Gemara is telling us is, don't go into a place like that, a mokum megula, out in the open, and then you'll be able to go and see things going on. You know, rather go hatsnei alechas, don't be too much out in the public, and you can see and you can go and see things that you're not supposed to see. But l'choira, a better girsa is, in fact, next to the ganois or ginois, you see there's a vav, and the vav is a maseris hashas, and he says, other svarim have the girsa begagois. Gagois means on the roof. Don't raise it on your roof, because the story of David HaMelech with Bathsheba was that David HaMelech was on the roof. Like Rashi quotes, Vayar Yishrei Chetz is Mi'alagak. He was there on the roof and he was able to see down below. So, unfortunately, if you go in certain places, you can go and see things which you're not supposed to, and that can bring to potential averos. So, best is don't go in places where you're not supposed to go. As you see, the Shidduch crisis didn't start today or yesterday. This is already in the times of Chazal. If you see that your daughter is getting bagra, she's getting older, and there are no suitors available, Shachar Avdecha, go and take your Eved, be meshachrer him, go and free him, v'tenla, and give that Eved to her. Even though in earlier years you would never have thought about it. Going, giving an Eved to my daughter. My daughter is the best girl, and she's wonderful, and she's pretty, and she's smart, and she's this, and she's that. But be practical, Rabbi Yisai. If there are no shiduchim available, shachar avdecha v'tenla. Vevizor b'ishtecha mechosna harishon. Be careful with your wife, with your first Edom. Edom is a first son-in-law. Why? My time, Rav Chisda oma mishem erva, Rav Kana oma mishem mamoin. Vahavaha is no, that your wife, once you get the first son-in-law, that son-in-law, if he happens to be charming and attractive and handsome and all the rest, there might be an attraction to the mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law says, oh, this son-in-law, and chas v'shalom could lead to erva, meaning chas v'shalom could lead to sin. And if Kahana says that the mother-in-law is so infatuated with her son-in-law that the mother-in-law might start buying presents for her son-in-law, and therefore there will be less money available in the family budget, and that's another reason why be careful about your wife when your daughter gets married. And there's another Gemara that says that a son-in-law initially, when he marries into the family, should not live under the same roof together with the mother-in-law for a similar reason, because of potential mishum erva. And the Gemara says, Vava is no. Even though it appears that Rav Chisda and Rav Kahana having a machloikis, the Gemara says both of them are right. Both reasons are correct that these are potential problems. there are three that are destined to have a nachla and olam haba, elu hein, hador be'eretz Yisrael, a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, as well as a megad al bonav l'talmud Torah, a person who is machanach and teaches his children to learn, v'mavdol aliyayim ha'metzoi shebosses. Now, hador be'eretz Yisrael is easy. The reason why he is a noichel olam haba, because he has the ability to mekayim so many more mitzvahs than we, chutznikim, cannot be mekayim. He can be mekayim all the dinim of trumois and masrois and leked and shikha and peya, etc., etc. Many, many mitzvahs that we don't have here in chutzlarts. From the gadol panel of the Talmud Torah, Chavada, you want your children to be talmid chachamim. If they become talmid chachamim, they're going to continue the mesoira and they're going to teach others Torah. So noichel olam haba. This mavdu bein aliyayim v'metzoi shebosses, what is this all about? Mayhi, continues the Gemara, to mishayir mikidusha li'avdalta. He has wine, but a limited quantity of wine. And on Shabbos, he could drink more wine. But if he did that, he wouldn't have anything left for Havdalah. So therefore, a person who's very careful on Shabbos, not to drink too much wine, but to leave enough for Havdalah, that's also a grace of Middah. He'll be from a Noichel, from Olam Haba.
Is this only wine, grape juice fit into that category, or should we be desired to drink yayin?
When we talk about yayin, we include grape juice as well. Grape juice is included. In the times of the Gemara, they didn't have grape juice, or it wasn't a popular product. Today we do have grape juice. Grape juice is considered by almost all poskim to be the legal equivalent of yayin for all purposes, with the sole exception of Seder night, where Rav Moshe Zatzal was machadesh that you're certainly yoytze yayin, but you might not be yoytze cheirus, because to be yoytze derech cheirus, just like the Gemara said, you have to have a seba, otherwise you yoytze the wine but not cheirus. Rav Moshe says you also have to drink wine, because grape juice is juice, and therefore it doesn't show liberty, fraternity, etc. You want to go and show it by drinking wine. So our Gemara is referring to grape juice as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes three proclamations upstairs every day. Al Ravak Hador Bekrach Ve'Enei Choyte. All of these three, as you'll see, are very, very positive statements. Al Ravak, Ravak is a bachelor, Hador Bekrach, who lives in a big city, Ve'Enei Choyte, and he's able to conquer his desires and his taivas, and he's not Choyte, he lives celibate without Chas V'Sholem being without sinning. Va'al oni hamachzer aveda lebaleh, as well as an oni who's a very poor guy and he finds an aveda, he would think he would keep it for himself. No, he returns it to his baal. Va'al osher hamaasher peroyse betzina, as well as a wealthy individual who gives meiser, and he gives that meiser, not maasher, maaser peroyse, he gives meiser from his peros betzina quietly. Now, what is the kavana of these three? What is this all about? So, the Ben Yoyod explains that there are three separate, actually, Ben Yoyod as well as the Anaf Yosef. Anaf Yosef is a pshat in the Ein Yaakov. Explain the following, that there are three things that people have a taiva for in this world. People have a desire for. One is taiva saguf. Taiva saguf means, for instance, living with women, etc. Taivas mamon, everybody likes to have money. And taivas kovod, a lot of people would like to have kovod and honor, etc. So these three go against the grain and are able to be kovish their yetzer. So in the case of the Ravik Hador Bekrach, even though he has the taiva for women, he is kovish it, and he's not chote, so he gets a big, big award for the fact that he is able to vanquish and conquer his midah. Same thing, everybody needs money, particularly an oni who's very poor, he certainly needs money. So you would think if he gets an aveda, he would keep it. No, he gives it back. So therefore, we go and give him an award as well, that he's able to kovesh his taiva for mamon. And the oshir, the rich person, when he gives meiser and he gives money, he'd like to go and get recognition for that. He would like to go and get the annual award at the local dinner of his shul, of his community, of whatever. And so therefore, our Gemara tells us, if he's able to go and be kovish as yetzer for kovid, and do it privately, but sin it, nobody knows about it. Oh, machris aleinu kodesh baruch hu, upstairs in Shemai. Now, the first of the three was the Ravak. Ravak is the bachelor who lived in the city. By the way, the reason why it says in the city is because in small towns and small communities, you didn't have that many women, and the women didn't go around with fancy clothing, and so therefore it was not a major Yetzirah draw. However, if you go in the cities, there are many, many more women, and of course, many of them will go outside in public wearing all different types of costumes and dresses, etc., to entice and provoke the men folk to look at them, etc. And if you have a bachelor who doesn't sin, even with all of these enticements and provocations, oh, that is a person that deserves to be machrizin l'mal. So now the Gemara tells us about Rav Safra, that he was a rabbak, he was a bachelor, hador b'krachav, he lived in the krach. And says the Gemara, Tani Tana kamei derob of Rav Safra, there was a Tana, meaning one of the Talmidim of one of the Amiroim, who was reading out a Braisa with this advice. There's a little bit of a disconnect over here. Disconnect in the sense that the Gemara and the Omer Aleph said, this is Rabbi Yochanan that was speaking, and now the Gemara is saying that this was repeated by a Tana as if it was a Braisa. So the Omer Aleph says it's Rabbi Yochanan, here it says it's a Braisa. Maybe it's both. Anyway, what did he say? He said this about the Shloisha Machriz and Lamala, and the first one being the Ravak that lives in the city. So Rav Safra, upon of the Rav Safra. Rav Safra, when he heard this memra, he had a smile from ear to ear. He was so happy. Oh, that Machriz and Olav Malmala. Amli Rova, so Rova said to Rav Safra, he kind of tempered his happiness, his joy. He says, Lav Kagoin Mar, we're not referring to a person like you. Elikagoin, we're referring to a person like Rav Chanina and Rav Oishia. What was so special about Rav Chanina and Rav Oishia? To have a Ushkefi, they too were bachelors, and they were Ushkefi, meaning that they were shoemakers, Ba'arad Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Va'abiyasu b'shuka dezoinais, and their stores, or their workplaces, where they made their shoes, happens to have been located, unfortunately, in the marketplace where they were zoinais. Presumably, when they opened up their workplaces or their stores, they were there first, and zoinais collected in later years. Anyway, it was a shuk of zoinais. Va'avdulahu misani lezoinais, and the zoinais needed shoes. So they would come into the workplaces and order a pair of shoes. Va'ayilahu, and they would walk in, meaning the zoinis would walk into their workplaces. Inu mistakli bahu, and the women would look at Rav Chanina b'Rav Oishia. V'inu loy midlan inayu listakuli bahu. But these two, Rav Chanina b'Rav Oishia, were very, very careful, always to look down and never to look at the women. And yes, they went and made nice shoes for them, but they never went and looked up at them, not to have any shaykhs to them. Umamsayu hochi. Umamsayu is from a lotion of neder or shvua, that when these zoinos ever made a vow, whenever they made a shvua, they would say, b'chayeyen, they would say, we make this shvua in the lives of Rabbanan Kadishi de Ba'arad Yisrael, on these holy rabbis, Rav Chanina Rav Oishia, that never once picked up their eyelids to look at us, how kedoshim and tehoirim they are. Those are the type of people, says Rava, that Rabbi Yochanan meant and the Braisa meant when it said that they're machriz l'mala, that they don't sin. So Rav Safra, yeah, you're a great guy, but compared to Rav Chanina Rav Oishia, they are really the Rabbanan Kadishi, the Ard Yisrael. Says the Moravai, Tishloisha Kodesh Baruch Hu Yehavan. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves three. Misha Eine Koyes, person that never gets angry. In other words, he's able to temper when he gets upset. He's able to keep his control. Umishainoi mishtaker, a person that never becomes shikker, doesn't become drunk. Umishaina mamad al midois, of a person who's a vatran. Vatran means he's always willing to waive his rights. Even though he's in the right and the other guy's in the wrong, he's willing to waive his rights and say, fine, I give up, you take it, etc. Shloisha Kodesh Baruch Hu soin, the three Kodesh Baruch Hu is very angry at. Hamadabar echa bepev yecha belev, a person who says one thing and he really means something else. In other words, a phony. Someone that has testimony for his chaver, who he could testify on his behalf and help him out, and he does not. That's not nice. Help out your chaver. And someone that unfortunately saw something not nice, dvar erva, which is a major sin of some sort, and he goes into Bezdin and he only testifies as one individual, not with a second aid. So as we know, when it comes to anything other than business affairs, al pishnayim Oishloisha Edim Yokum Dover. You always need a minimum of two Edim. If you only have one aid, except in business affairs where an aid can be machay v'shvur, he can go and obligate someone to make a vow. But otherwise, you always need two aid. So if he's going to come to bed and say, I saw Jack Smith walking together with Mrs. Jones, and I'm afraid that they did X, Y, and Z, and blah, 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 and it may be 100% true. However, what does he gain by that? Without a second aid, we're not going to do anything vis-a-vis Jack Smith. Kiha, like the famous story of Tuvia Chota, the Osa Zigoid Lichudei, the Asid Bey, Kamedra Papa. Tuvia, unfortunately, did a chait, a sin of this sort. Zigud came into Bezin, and he said, Edis in front of Rapapa against Tuvia. Nagde le Zigoid. And Rapapa then gave Malkis to Zigoid. Probably didn't give literally Malkis, because this is in Chutz Laaretz, this is in Bavel. Rapapa lived, one of the later Amiroim, but he did something, it's of some other type of punishment or penalty, or maybe just criticized Zigoid. But the point is, says Zigoid, Omaleis, Zigoid said to Rapapa, Tuvia Chotav Zigoid Mingit, I'm innocent, I was the innocent bystander, I just told you what I saw, and I just testified to that. And it was Tuvia that did the chait. You should give him the patch, don't give me the patch. Omaleis said, no, the reason I give you the patch, Tachsiv, it's in the Apostle, Yochim Eidachar Be'ish, one person cannot go and say Eidus. The Atlechudeich Asadus Be'ish, you came in on your own. Shame Rabbi Alma Kamis Mafkis Bey. All you've accomplished is that now people are going to go and talk in the street about Tuvi and say that Tuvi did X and Tuvi did Y and Tuvi did Z. But without two Edim, one person, even if you have tremendous credibility, even if you're Erlich, Lamaisa, all you've done is you've caused now gossiping about Tuvia, because without a second aid, there's nothing that we, the rabbinical Bezin, can do.
Don't we have a principle that in case of a soka, one aid is legally meaningful? It's about focus if it's a kina, a stira, but there is one aid, and he has consequences, because if her husband, if that woman was a married woman, and her husband warned her about so-and-so, it does have consequences.
Okay, so two answers. Number one, as you yourself said, that at least in one of the stages you have to have two aidim. You can't just have one aid, but both by the kinui and by the stira. Everybody agrees that you have to have two aidim, either by the kinui or by the stira or by both. So if you only have one aid altogether in the whole affair, you don't even start talking about a saita. Here you only had one person. Number two, as I'm sure you will quickly acknowledge, the story of Rapapa is many, many years after the last saita was ever brought into the Beis HaMikdash, because unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash had already been charev many, many years before. So a person going and telling everybody in public or going to the Bezin saying that she should be brand a soita is not going to accomplish anything. We're not going to take her to the Azara. We're not going to give her the Maimam Arim. And therefore, we have not accomplished anything. Finally, we're not talking about Edis against the woman. We're talking about Edis against the man. It could very well be that whoever testified didn't even, in the case of Zigud, for instance, he may not even know who the woman is. One thing he knew, it wasn't the wife and it wasn't the daughter of Tuvia, and he saw whatever he saw. So the point is that this will not even lead to a Saita situation. He's only going to lead to gossip and Moiti Shemra and Lashon Hara about Tuvia. Omer Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Omer Rav, Mutar L'Sanoisai. So Rishbam says that even though you, private individual, like Zigud, you should not have testified, but when you saw it with your own eyes, then you're allowed to go and hate that person as if the Bezin had paskin that that person is a villain and a bad guy. So although you should not have made these public statements and the public testimony, but you privately, mutal sanoisi, you're allowed to go and hate him. Why? Shenem it says in the pasuk, Kisira chamor sanacha revitz tachas masoi. If you see your sona, your enemy, that his chamor, unfortunately, is revitz, it's crouching helplessly under its tremendous masa, the pasuk says you should go and help him out. Now the question is, my sona, what's the definition of sonacha? Ilay masoina nachri, we're talking about a Gentile sona. But Tani in the Brice, it says that when the pasuk says sonacha, sona sha'omer sona yisrael, v'lay sona nachri, we're not talking about a Gentile, we're talking about a Yid. Elapshita sona yisrael. Are you allowed to go and hate a fellow Jew? You're not allowed to harbor any sinner, any hatred to someone else. Elo de ikasadi di ovid isura. We're talking about that there were edim that he did an isur. Azoi is kuli alma nami misni sanilei. It's not only that you're allowed to go and hate this individual. Everybody can and should hate an individual who is a bal aveira. So why are we talking about dafka loisisa sachich belvecha? Dafka, you don't have the sinner. Everybody is in the same peckle, that if the guy, if they're edis about this fellow that he did a dvar isur, we're all allowed to go and hate him for the isurim that he has done. We don't mean necessarily hating the individual as much as hating the actions that this individual has done. El lav. So what's pshat in this pasuk now? Kisira chamor sanachet. He's your private enemy. Nobody else is his enemy. You're the private enemy. Sanachot. Roy v'stach masoy, and you have to help him out. So Tumay lav ki haygav. That's probably talking about a situation like we're talking about. The chazibei iu dvar erva. He's nobody else's sonei because although I saw and I witnessed that this Mr. Smith did a terrible, terrible aveira, nobody else witnessed it. So therefore, he is my private sonei that I hate the guy for being. I don't really hate him, but I hate the terrible aveiras that he has committed whilst he's supposed to be a religious, God-fearing Jew, and he's not doing what he's supposed to. So therefore, he is my sonei. It's not a public sonei because I haven't shared it with anybody else. I'm not testifying like Zigo did publicly by that person by himself. So that's the mutalis anoyis. So you're allowed to hate a person like that, that you know for a fact that was over on this terrible iser dvar erva. You're not allowed to publicize it, but you're allowed to have that sinna in your heart. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omer, I'll go one step further. Mitzvah anoyis. Not only you're allowed to, but you should hate him. Shem, it says in the pasuk, Yiras Hashem, and the Gemara is quoting the pasuk. It's not soinera, it's soinoisra. There's a, if you have dalit, Yiras Hashem sinois. A form of Yiras Hashem is to have a hate for things which are bad. When you hear about bad sins that are committed by people, your Yiras Hashem is to hate that badness, that evil. What happens if you happen to be, again, a single individual in terms of knowing that this person has sinned? Are you allowed to go and tell his rabbi, his rav, his rebbe, his Rosh Hashiva? Are you allowed to go and tell him, I want you to know, Rabbi Jones, Mr. Smith, who is one of the members of your congregation, I know you think of him as being one of the distinguished members, but I got to tell you, unfortunately, he did X, Y, and Z, and therefore, he's a bad guy. Are you allowed to do that? Amalei, so Ravashi said back, Iyodad mehemen l'rabbe kibetrei leimalei. If you know that you have the level of credibility with his rabbi, that he's going to believe you like two witnesses, then you're allowed to tell him. V'iloi, however, if he's going to look upon you as, well, you're only one witness, and who knows what you're saying, whether it's true or not true, no, loy leimalei, then he shouldn't say anything, because we're going to have just the same situation as before, that don't say testimony if you're on your own, because of l'yokum eid echad b'ish. There are three types of people in this world that their lives are very difficult. Who are these three people? Rachmanim, v'harachonim, v'anine hadas. Rachmanim, the people that always have too much compassion. They are so busy having mercy and compassion, they're always cracked. Ay, 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 ay. And they hear another tzara and another tzara and another tzara. They really cannot. You have to distance yourself sometimes from terrible tragedies are happening in Klal Yisrael. Of course, you have to have compassion, you have to have mercy. But don't take it too much to heart. If you take it too much to heart, Chas v'Shalom, the person cannot live. There's a very famous story about the young Kapitchin at Sereba. There was the old Kapitchin at Sereba that was Rebbe for many years, who was known as the Tzadik Yisrael Olam. He was a member of the Mietzik Kedoy HaToyra, together with the Reb Aaron Kotler Zatzal. And although Reb Aaron Kotler, as we all know, was of Lithuanian stock, whenever there was a meeting in the Netzis Gedoy HaTorah, and there was someone had to speak, or someone had to go and make a decision, Reb Aaron Kotler said, let the Kapitchin Tzereba speak first. He had tremendous, tremendous awe and reverence for the Kapitchin Tzereba. Grace, grace, tzaddik. Anyway, the Kapitchin Tzereba passed away, the Alta Kapitchin Tzereba, and he left over three sons. And one of his sons was Reb Moshe. And Reb Moshe became the Mamala Mokim. And Reb Moshe, unfortunately, was only Mamala Mokim for 3 or 4 years, and he passed away. I think he was 53 or so when he passed away. And the yard site is on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the doctor said that the reason why he passed away is when he became Rebbe, so many people came to his doorstep with kvitlach, with a tzara. This one, unfortunately, the person is sick, and this one didn't have parnasa, and this one, the daughter needed a shidduch, and this one is this, and this one is that. So many tzaras. The doctors told him already shortly after he became Rebbe that it is affecting his heart. He's just taking it all to heart so much that it's just affecting him. And he said, what can I do? That's my job. I'm a Rebbe. Anyway, 2 or 3 years later, he passed away from a massive heart attack. And they said, just simply from taking all the tzaras of Yidden that came to him to heart, and Nebuchadnezzar, he passed away on. So, yes, of course, you have to have rachmanis, but you have to be able to distance yourself a little bit from that, because otherwise, chas v'shalom, chayeyem einem chayim. Whereas chonam, a person who gets is very hot-tempered, any little thing that happens, he starts screaming, he starts going crazy. It's also einem chayim. Vanini adas, people that are very, very delicate and very finicky. You know, if you by accident stepped on his toe, and if you by accident you rubbed against him or something, he gets all upset and all nervous or whatever. You know, those people, their lives are very difficult lives. Vomer of Yosef. Rav Yosef said about himself, Kulis nabi. Unfortunately, I have all of these three midos that I am a tremendous rachman, and I get angry very easily. And anina adas, I got all of them. And presumably, Rav Yosef worked on his midos to be kovish them. But all these three are difficult midos to live with. Tan Rabban, Shloish Yisraelim Zeh Zeh, the three that hate each other. Elu hein ha-klovim, the dogs, va-tar ne-goylim, and the roosters, va-chaborim. Chaborim was the name of a very vicious people that lived at one time in Iran, or at that time called Persia, and they were very, very difficult people, and they made a lot of tzaris for Klal Yisrael. You have other Gemaras that say that the Chaborim, they were very violent and they caused tzaras. So on the surface, these three groups work together hand in hand. The dogs work together, the Tarnagoyim, the Chaborim. And what the Gemara is telling us is, no, they even hate their competition. That the Chaborim, as much as they hate the Jews and other nations, they hate each other as well, and they probably do violent acts against one another. The Yesh Oimrim Afa Zoinos, same thing applies to Zoinos. All the Zoinos are grouped together in one place, in the Zoinos marketplace, like we had before. And you would think, oh, they work hand in hand. No, they are vicious adversaries of one another. The Yesh Oimrim and others say, after Tamid HaChom Shevavavol, Tamid HaChom Shevavavol. This shouldn't be read too literally, the Tamid HaChom Shevavavol. The Mefarshim explain that when you had a dispute between two Talmidim or two Tamid HaChom in Eretz Yisrael, what they would do is, let's sit down and let's go over the sources, let's see what your proofs are, let's see what my proofs are, and we try to go and work out some middle ground, or one would try to convince the other with the Bederech Nachas, Divrei Chachomim, Benachas Nishmoyim. Unfortunately, in Bavel, people didn't do it that way. People are a little bit more heated. In fact, even today, you go into certain yeshivas, sometimes you hear one person screaming at the other, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Nah, you're wrong. No. So that's how they got a kind of a, they don't really mean sinna, that they hate each other, but they acted in a somewhat of a rough manner instead of trying to work things out in a nice, pleasant way. Tan Rabban, Shloisha Havan Zeh Zeh. There are three groups that love each other. Elohein HaGerim V'Avodim V'Orvin. Gerim and Avodim and Orvin. I'm not clear why they are more oyev each other than others. The art scroll brings a pirush, at least on the gerim and avodim, that the gerim and avodim might feel a degree of inferiority because they're the new guys on the block, so to speak. A ger, with his tremendous desire to be part of the Jewish people, there may be born Jews that look upon the gerim, well, he doesn't know anything yet, he's still ignorant, and he's going to take his time, and so a ger may have some sort of feeling of inferiority, and therefore when you have others in the same group, misery loves company, and therefore they love each other, that they try to bring themselves up to the higher status quo type of thing. And the same thing avodim, and evid, of course, I don't want to be medama milza lemilza, these are two separate categories, but avodim also are lowly, and therefore they feel a certain degree of discrimination or whatever, and they stick together. I'm not sure what the Orvim feel, but the crows also probably have similar feelings, and they stick together. Arba in adasiv losan. There are four categories of people that a regular, normal individual cannot tolerate these types of guys. Elu hein, dal geir, a person who's poor and he's pompous and arrogant. Male, if you happen to be a wealthy person and you're pompous, that almost goes with the territory. But a person who's poor, he has nothing to offer to society, if you will, and he is pompous and arrogant. Who are you to be? Who are you, you Groyser Knacker, you? You're a nobody. The Osim Machish. Osim Machish means that an Oisha who has Baruch Hashem plenty of money, and then when his creditors come and say, no, pay up your bills, no, I don't owe you anything. And when we know, of course, that it's not true. So he's an Oisha, Baruch Hashem, he has the money. Pay off your debts. Why are you Machish? Why do you cause us so much grief and so much trouble? The Zokim Menayef, a person who's already 119 years old, and he is still running after women, and is still living with women, biznus. Come on, you're 119, you know, give us a break. Uparnas miskol atzibur b'chinam. Uparnas miskol, Rashbam says, Uparnas here is referring to an askan, who is supposed to be a community activist and help everybody else. And guess what? Oh, he has the title, but he doesn't do anything for everybody. He's been elected as our governor, as our mayor, as our senator, as our assemblyman. He's supposed to help everybody else. And he is a pompous, arrogant type of politician, type of individual. And he doesn't help anybody. He just makes new taxes or other stuff. So those are the types of people that ain't a das of loss. And I can't stand those types of guys. They're phonies. They're no goodniks. A person who married his wife, gives her a get, marries her again gives her a get. You know, it seems to be revolving doors, in and out. He keeps on marrying the same woman time and again. So Timura, I can understand why in Adasiv Lassan, the people look upon this as this guy must be a little bit crazy, a little bit nuts. What's going on? What's the Tanakama hold? Tanakama should have added that to his list. So Gemara Tanakama Zim de Ksuvasa Maruba Inami Yeshle Banim Hemena Tlimatsi Megarishla. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It could very well be that he does not want to remarry her. The only reason he's remarrying her is because she has taken him to court to go and pay his ksuva, and he cannot afford to pay the ksuva. So he says, okay, if I can't afford it, I might as well remarry her, assuming that she is willing to do that. So they're back together again. At least he doesn't have to go and worry about how he's going to pay the ksuba. Or there are joint children from both of them, and he realizes that without the father at home, it's not good. And therefore he remarries her, even though he doesn't have any great love for her, but he's doing that because of the children. So that's why the Tanakhama says don't automatically say in a das of loss, and there might be very good reasons for the situation that you're not aware of. Chamisha dvarim tziva Kanan ez banav. Five things that Kanan taught his children. Rashbam says, don't understand this literally, that Kanan kind of gave a letter of instructions or a last will and testament for his kids, but rather we see the way the Canaanites act, and therefore we can see that that's kind of their legacy of what Kanan taught his kids. Evu zeh zeh, one should love one another. The hevu is a gezel, you should love to go and steal. The hevu is hazima, and loves nus. The sinu es adinechem, and hate your owners or your bosses. And don't speak truth. So these are, the first one would seem to be a good midah, but obviously all the other midahs are not good. Some say that the Evu Zeh Zeh is part and parcel of the Hevus HaGezel. In other words, that go and love to go and steal, go and love Znus, and your Chaver will also want to steal, and it also wants Znus. So therefore, do a cover-up one for the other. You won't snitch on him, and he won't snitch on you. And that's the Hevu Zeh Zeh, that it's all part and parcel of the Te'avas Mitzrayim and the Te'avas Canaan that the Torah talks about, the terrible abominations that they acted when you, Klal Yisrael, lived there. You saw their Te'avas, and don't learn from them. So this Hevu Zeh Zeh is in fact not a good midah, but rather it's a bad midah. It's part and parcel of covering up for each other by loving each other, and I'll cover for you and you'll cover for me. Six things are said about a horse. A horse loves to be mezana with other horses. And he loves to go into battle. And he's a very arrogant type. He doesn't like to sleep. The Gemara says, I think in Brochais, that a shina sus is 60 neshimai, 60 breaths, which most of the Mepharshim say means about 30 minutes. So a sus sleeps for short naps, like 30 minutes at a time, and then gets up and let's continue on. Ho'ichel harbe and eats a lot, umoitzi kima, and only produces a limited amount of tzoa of excrement. The yesh aymrim, af mevakish laharoik ba'alav b'mechama, that the sus likes to go and kill his own owner in war. The reason why he would want to go and kill his owner in war, say some of the mefarshim, because either the owner is working him too hard in battle, or it could be that the sus, being a male sus, may see elsewhere female susim and says, why is my master taking me out in battle? I rather, like the first midah of the sus is oyves es nus, he wants to live together with some of the female horses. In other words, he wants to go horsing around, and the balaam doesn't allow him to, and that's why he hates his owner. Menudim l'shamayim. Shiva menudim l'shamayim. There's seven that are menudim. Menudim means like they are almost excommunicated upstairs in Shemayim. Elohein Yehudi she'en le'isha, a yid that doesn't get married. In other words, everybody should go and marry. V'shiyesh le'isha ve'en le'banim, that he has a wife and he has no children. Now, a person doesn't have any children, it's usually not his fault. So therefore, the second Tosis tells us, niradavka al yedei p'shi'osoi, she'enim is'asik b'pirid v'rivya, domidachreni. In other words, he gets married, but he's not osik b'pirid v'rivya. Somehow he tries to prevent his wife getting pregnant. And the reason why Tosis says that is because the domidachreni is like the next few cases that we're going to have in the Gemara, nishlein do'tfilin b'roishe, b'zroyoi, b'tzitzis b'bidoi, if a person doesn't own tefillin because he can't afford it and he wasn't able to borrow it, what can you do? In that book, he doesn't have tefillin. But a person who can afford it and he owns tefillin, he doesn't put it on. Oh, that's a problem. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like it. So this type of person over here too, he's able to have children and she's able to have children, but they don't do what's necessary to have the kids. And presumably that's the same thing with Yehudi she'en le'isha, that a person that is able to go and get married, he has a lot of kishrinus, he has a lot of appeal, an attractive candidate, and he refuses for whatever reason. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about those people. So bra l'sheves yitzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world that there should be future generations. A person has children, he's not mechanach them to Talmud Torah. It's just laissez faire, let them do whatever they want, let them choose whatever they want. No. You have to go and tell them the Heilige Torah, and you have to go and be mechanach them. A person doesn't have tefillin b'roishoy, tefillin b'zroyoy. In other words, not that he doesn't have. He doesn't put on tefillin on his head, tefillin b'zroyoy, tefillin on his arm. Tzitzis b'bigdi, he doesn't put tzitzis on his beged. Mezuzah b'pizchay, he doesn't put a mezuzah on his door. V'minei menalayim b'raglav, a person that doesn't wear shoes. And we've had this gemara recently, the last couple of days, and this gemara elsewhere too, that Kodesh Baruch has a sin against those people that don't wear shoes, because that's the minimum respect that a person should have for self-esteem, that he should walk around with shoes and not walk around barefoot. When he has a chaburish mitzvah, like a bris or like a chasana, like this, he doesn't want to sit at those chaburish mitzvah. The Tosis says on top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. The Tosis is out of place. It's the next Amud. The top toys in the main Sudas Mitzvah, Haina Sudas Mila, Tumba Medrish, the Nitzel Medinik Shagahinoi, Sudas Nisuan, Batamad Chochem, Ubas Koyin the Koyin, etc. Batafka Shesham, Bene Odomu Ganin. Avadi, you're not going to just go and sit if you see at your table just a bunch of gangsters, a bunch of Apikorisim, Amaratsim. That's a different story. It brings a Gemara that the Kiyah Dasri Shalim, Yemasun Besudel, and Ken Yoidimi Mesriman. They made sure to go and sit with people that they could sit with and not Litzonim or Pikorsim or whatever. Anyway, so the Gemara is telling us, if you have the ability and you have the time and the know-how and the whatever to go and sit at a bris, at a chasen, whatever, you should, don't be monea, don't refuse to do so. Om Rabba B'chana, Om Rabbi Shmuel Bar Marta, Om Rabbi Shem Rabbi Yossi Ish Hutzel. Remember this name, Rabbi Yossi Ish Hutzel, because we're going to have it in another couple of lines. L'choyr, it shouldn't say Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yosef Ish Hutzel. Anyway, what did Rabbi B'chanan Rabbi Shmuel Bar Marta say in the name of Rabbi Yosef Yishutzel? Minayin she'in she'alim b'kaldiyim. Don't be shoyl. Shoyl means don't go and ask. Kaldiyim are these astrologists that are stargazers. Don't ask them for advice for the future. She'emar tam tiyem Hashem lekecha. You have to live with tmimus with Hashem. You have to be mispal, because Baruch Hu should go and do everything right for you. Don't try to find future predictions based going to the Kaldiyim, who are stargazers. Rishbam says the Gemara is a bit shver. It should have said Altifnu elo oivis vele yedoinim, which are specific stargazers. So Rishbam says, it's talking about general chosen bekachov, anybody that tries to predict the future by looking at the stars and says, oh, I know what's going to happen here and there. Don't get involved in that type of stuff. If you have someone who you know, who is just greater than you in just one particular midah, then you should go and give him covet for that midah. Shnemar, it says in the Pasuk, by Nebuchadnezzar and by Daniel. You have it here in Oizvov, Kol Kovel di Ruach Yatira Bey, that Nebuchadnezzar recognized in Daniel that he had a Ruach Yatira Bey, he had one special spirit about him. And because he saw that he had that additional spirit that Daniel had more than anybody else, he appointed him to be in charge of the Malchus, in charge of the government. A person, a woman that's sitting al dam tohar. What does that mean? So we know mina Torah that every woman that gives birth, depending whether it's a zohar or a keva, if it's a zohar, 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tahara. By a girl, if she gives birth to a girl, then 14 days of tumah, 66 days of tahara. And mina Torah, during those 7 days of, sorry, by the zohar, those 33 days of tahara, and by a girl, those 66 days of tahara, even if the woman is bleeding, the husband can ignore it, and he's allowed to go and live with his wife, because that's what's called yimei toyar. Those dam that we are not knowing that today, we are machmir today, but in the times of the Torah, it was permissible to go and live with the wife, even though she was bleeding, during the 33 days, or during the 66 days, after the initial 7 and 14 day periods. Okay, so now what happens is, she is now completing her dam tohar, meaning she is now the eve of day 41 or the eve of day 81 by a girl, and the wife wants to now live with her husband. He and she should not live together that night. The reason is because she's so used to living with her husband, even if she's bleeding. Maybe she's continuing to bleed, and she's going to poo-poo it and say, well, you know, last night I bled, and it wasn't a problem, and I was able to live with my husband. So let them at least skip one ona. Says Yimur, ad kama omrav ona. How much is an ona? So Rishbam brings two pshatim. It either means 24 hours, or it means one night. One night they should be separated. They should not live together. After that, then they can live together. She's no longer within that. She's used to bleeding and living with her husband because the Yemei Tohar are behind her. Now, since we mentioned Rabbi Yosef Ish Hutzal, the Gemara tells us something very, very interesting. Tana, who Yosef Ish Hutzal? Yosef Ish Hutzal had a number of names. One name was Yosef Ish Hutzal, like we just said, but he's also Yosef HaBavli, and he's also who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, and he's also who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mahalalel. Umashmoy, what was his real name? Isi ben Akavya Shmoy. Now, how did he get all of these names? Our Gemara doesn't tell us. However, the Mephoshim say Tupshatim. Either what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that the father of this Yosef or this Isi was something really tremendous, and therefore we are trying to extol all of his virtues, and that each one of these names, the Bavli, Gur Aryeh, Yehuda, Gamliel, all of these are names of the father of this Yosef. We're trying to extol him, we're telling the malice in subtle ways by giving him all of these names. And there's a toisis about it, which is cited here in the art scroll, in Mesechus Nida, and other places. Anyway, that's one pshat. Another pshat is that unfortunately Yosef Ish Hutzal was a person that had to flee from the government. The government, for whatever reason, had complaints against him, as we've had already with Rabbi Akiva and others. Many of the Tanoim and Amiroim were run after by the government when they tried to teach Torah and tried to spread Yahadus and Yiddishkeit. So apparently Yosef Ish Hutzal was among them, and therefore he had to go and have different names, different aliases, to be able to escape the government. And the Gemara tells us similarly, again the last line here, who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavla, who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chakla, who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Ilo. This Rabbi Yitzchak had three names, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavla, ben Chakla, and ben Ilo. Bach takes out that last word, who, because now we're talking about someone else at the top of the Omid. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha Tishmaitzahu, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas di Agadata. What does that mean? So says Rishbam, as well as Rashi, that whenever you find Rabbi Yitzchak Stam without naming his father in Gemara, then it depends. If it's a Shmaitzah, Shmaitzah means he's telling a Dvar Halacha, then it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha. If it's referring to an Agadata, then it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas. So whenever you see Rabbi Yitzchak, don't automatically assume it's the same Rabbi Yitzchak. It depends whether it's Shmaitzah, it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha. If it's Agadah, it's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas. The Simonech, how are you going to remember which one is which? Shimuno Achai v'Reyai, or on the side it is a different girsa, Shimuni Achai v'Ami, or Achi v'Ami. What is this referring to? That since we said Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha, he's the one of Shmaitzah, so that's related to Shimuni, a Lashon of Shmia, of Shmaitzah. Then it says, Achai, the Ami, oh, Achai is referring to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha. So ben Acha is the one of Shmaitzah. Okay, we're just going to finish one quick, another memory until the Mishnah. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishmeide, Rabbi Yehuda Barabbi Loi. Achoil Batzel, Vishev Bitzel. It's a, somewhat of a pun. Achoil Batzel, eat onions. Rajbam says, lav dafka onions. Onions or, for instance, other types of vegetables, which are much more inexpensive, much cheaper. Vishev Bitzel, and then you'll be able to retain your house and you won't have to worry about creditors that are going to come to try to put a lien on your house and sell your home. In other words, try to live a modest standard of living. You don't have to go and engorge yourself with expensive luxuries. And the Vishev Bitzel, and then you'll be able to live in the shade of your home, not having to worry about becoming homeless since you cannot pay your creditors. And don't feast always on avodim geese, b'tana goylem, and even on roosters, on chickens. In other words, don't always insist on meat, meat, meat. Rather, go and eat cheaper foods so you don't get into debt. Because if you become accustomed to eating fancy foods, expensive foods like avodim b'tana goylem, then yelibcha roydef alecha, then you're going to become addicted to those items and you won't be able to live without them. You should rather go and spend less money for machal and mishta, for your foods and for your drinks. And rather use your capital, use extra funds to improve your living at home, your dira. Ki asa ula amar mislam mislam b'amarova. In Eretz Yisrael, they have the following mashal: the ochel al yisa toshi be al yisa, the ochel kekuli. So the Gemara is using a bit of a pun, a play on words, Aliyasa and Aliyasa, or Alisa. Aliyasa, we know that Aliyah is the tail of the keves, of the animal, and of course in the times of the Beis Hamikdash that Aliyah was put on the Mizbeach, that was one of the Aymarin, and now that we unfortunately, ever since we've had the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, we are not allowed to eat the Aliyah. Aliyah is prohibited fats. But the Gemara is not referring to the prohibited fats, it's referring to the shuman, the kosher fats that an animal has. If a person is always looking for the fatty foods, in other words, he wants to have a geshmaka steak, geshmaka roast, and things of that nature, I'm not against people eating steak or roast, but if that's the person's daily diet, he only wants the fanciest foods, toshib aliyasa, he won't be able to go and pay his grocery bills, he won't be able to pay the restaurant. And what is he going to do? He's going to be hiding Valyasa up in his attic. When the creditors come knocking on his door, they won't be able to find him because he lived a very lavish lifestyle and he can't afford it. So he's going to be hiding. Dochel kakuli. Kakuli are yurakos. Those are vegetables. Those are much cheaper. Then akikli the masashach. If you'll be able to see him in the public, he'll be sitting even next to the garbage dump. The word kikli, tamasa, is the public garbage dump. Lav dafka, what he means to say is, you'll be able to find him everywhere. You'll find him in the public park, you'll find him in shul, you'll find him walking down the street. He won't be afraid of any creditors because, Baruch Hashem, he lives a very modest lifestyle. He'll be able to pay off all his creditors, so he's able to walk the streets and sit in the park, sit on the bench, and not be afraid of people coming to oppress him and to pressure him to go and pay their debts. So that was the mashal. Don't live too much of a lavish lifestyle, otherwise you're going to have to hide from your creditors. Rather live a modest lifestyle, and then you'll be free to go and come wherever you want, because you'll pay off all your creditors in time we won't have creditors.
Where does he want to live? The garbage dump.
Rishbam says it just means mokim sheshar b'nei ir yoishvin, where everybody else sits around. He'll also sit around. Vein toivim l'klum, people won't be to pay any money. He won't. He won't have to hide underneath the park bench or underneath the table. He'll be available to greet everyone with a smile. Okay. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Okay. Hearing none, Mitzvah, I hope to be back in the Smedish tomorrow morning, and we'll learn regular time. Regular time tomorrow, we have no Tachlin, but we do have laning. We also have the laning of the Nasi, so it'll probably be close to 7:45. We may be as early as 7:40, but probably closer to 7:45. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai. Zai Gebench. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. A good mechodesh to one and all. Kol tzav atzlocha. Be well, everybody.